Hello and welcome to today's podcast. Today we're looking at the readings from Sunday's lectionary reading, which is Psalm 23 and Acts 2 verses 4 to 47. And the question I want to start with is, what's at the centre? Today's lectionary readings may seem to have little in common. Psalm 23 is well known, "The Lord is my shepherd." It gives us a picture of finding rest, stillness and comfort with God at our side. On the other hand, the reading from Acts is a picture of the early church, full of busyness and activity. But they have something in common. They get us to think about what's important to us. Who and what we place at the centre of our lives. Who and what we put our energy and focus into. They make us ask that question. What's at the centre? Who is at the centre in my life? And who is at the centre in our life, the life of our church? We touched on both these passages on Sunday and asked that first question especially, who's at the centre of our life? But now we're going to focus more on that second passage from Acts and think about what's at the centre in our life as a church. To consider the things the early church devoted itself to and see what was characteristic of the early church, a church that was called to grow as we are and a church that we can learn from. Now, in the weeks after Easter, the lectionary readings follow the book of Acts, but confusingly, not exactly in order. This reading in Acts 2 occurs straight after the account of Pentecost, but we've actually yet to come to Pentecost in our church year. The readings in the next weeks, though, focus on the early church and paint a picture of what it was like, and these few verses in Acts 2 pack in an awful lot. I also realise when thinking about this, it's not an easy passage to consider in our current situation. One thing that comes out strongly is that sense of community coming together, and something we can't do physically, at least now, for a time. But we still need to think about how we can be church, both in the here and now, and also consider how we will be church in the future. I'd like to suggest that this passage describes 10 characteristics of that early church. 10 characteristics of a growing church, and by considering them, it will help us think how we continue to be a presence, a community of faith in the world that still needs to hear and see the good news lived out by word and deed. Now, obviously, there are 10 characteristics, so I need to be brief. The first characteristic is a growing church is a learning church, and Acts 2:42 tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The church committed itself to learning. In today's world, we're bombarded with information. Someone once calculated recently that we hear and read more information in a week than someone living, say, 500 years ago would have heard in a lifetime. But there is a difference between giving information, having knowledge, and learning. Learning is so much more. It's about growing. It's about understanding. It's about seeing new perspectives. It's about deepening our appreciation of God and one another and changing the way we live. What are we doing to learn at this time, in a time that perhaps we can't gather physically together? We were encouraged last month to look at the spring harvest material, which I believe is still free online for this month. What are we reading at the moment? What are we listening to? What are we watching online? What learning are we sharing with one another in whatever way we can? Are we ensuring that we are a learning church? Secondly, a growing church is a church in fellowship. Now again, this is a hard one at the moment, but it makes us ask the question how we are connecting and sharing in each other's lives during this time. Our children, Simeon and Esther, are part of St. Helen's Youth Brass Band, and like every other organisation at this time, they have had to stop meeting and playing together. But like many other organisations, they have nonetheless thought about how they continue to meet virtually and share time together. And last week we had an online quiz via Zoom, which was actually a lot of fun. And we learnt a lot about each other. We were able to have fellowship even though we were distant. What are you doing to make sure that you have fellowship and stay connected to St. Andrew's and to one another? And also, are you reaching out in fellowship to those who especially are on their own and making sure that they stay connected too? Thirdly, a growing church regularly celebrates the breaking of bread. Now again, this is a hard one for us at this time. What's meant by the breaking of bread? Some commentators believe it refers to eating together, a meal the early church celebrated known as the agape or love feast. But more think it refers simply to the celebration of communion, the Last Supper. Why do we do it? In 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul writes that as often as you eat and drink this meal, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So yes, the breaking of bread is a communal celebration, but it has a purpose behind it. It reminds ourselves of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope of his return. A growing church therefore puts that message of death, resurrection and future return at the centre of its faith. Fourthly, a growing church is a church of prayer. I don't need to explain this one. It reminds us though of our church's motto, pray, grow and go. And of course, it also reminds us of the rule of life as outlined by Bishop Paul. If you want a challenge, read through the whole book of Acts, maybe over the next week, and simply note how many times prayer is mentioned. Fifthly, a growing church is one where sign and wonders occur. Now, I must admit that I struggle with this one a little bit, but I can't ignore it. And again, if you read through the book of Acts, it's clear that signs and wonders that were part of the ministry of Jesus were also part of the ministry and life of that early church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, some argue that these signs and wonders were confined to that time of the early church and are not seen today, whereas others will say they are still part of the church today. And for me, I would agree it is the latter, although I struggle maybe to understand why at times God seems not to demonstrate his miraculous power, despite our prayers and petitions. But I can't escape the sense that God's miraculous power was sometimes something seen in the church, in that early church, and seems to be part of it, and we need to keep asking God to show that power today. Number six, a growing church is a church together. This passage in Acts describes a church that met together frequently, that held things together and had a single purpose. Again, this concept causes lots of debate. Some Christians will say we should live, for example, in communes, which is certainly not a good idea at this point in time. But there is something about sharing things together, and we'll come on in a minute to the concept of sharing and generosity. But the word here used is the Greek word koina, from which we get koinonia, or fellowship, and it simply means in common. To me, it means we don't have to agree exactly on everything, or that there is only one way of being church, but rather we need to be clear about what we all share in common. What are the common core things of our faith? What is our shared purpose? Too often, if we're honest, the church can be seen by the world as a fractured communion where we spend too much time debating things of lesser importance rather than proclaiming what we share in common. And I wonder, as St. Andrew's, what do we have in common as our church and what demonstrates our togetherness? Number seven, a growing church is a generous church. Again, this needs little explanation. The early church was characterised by generosity. They ensured that all those who were in need were looked after. And there were various stories of generosity, particularly the example of Barnabas in chapter 4. During the current crisis, I've been struck by stories, both of generosity, of people giving to help others, and there have been many stories that just fill you with awe and wonder. Although equally, there are stories of how perhaps stingy and self-centred some groups of people seem to be during this crisis. People notice both, but they do notice generosity. They notice when we look to other people's needs. Are we looking for the need around us and responding? Number eight, a growing church is a praising church. Verse 47 tells us that the church praised God. And again, if you read through Acts, you'll see this pattern. Praise seemed to be a central feature when the church came together. Now, of course, we all have different preferences around styles of worship and song and hymn. But nonetheless, prayer draws our focus towards God, to who he is and what he has done. And I wonder, are you spending time now during these times simply focused on God and praising him for what he is? Number nine, a growing church is a simple church. Now, a note of caution here what I mean by simple. I certainly don't mean gullible or stupid. Verse 46 tells us that the church had sincere and glad hearts. But the word sincere is not entirely clear. The Greek word, aphileis, is probably better translated as simple. A number of years ago, a Christian, Richard Foster, wrote a book called Freedom of Simplicity. I suggest you perhaps go and find it and read it if you can. It's a brilliant book. In it, he challenges our approach to life, something which speaks to us now more than ever. I think there's a danger within the church, as within many other organisations, to try and develop clever programmes or things that need to be complex to try and attract people. We need to be bigger or better or brighter. But the counter to this is simplicity. It doesn't mean being boring, but it means thinking about the things in life, many of which perhaps are considered quite simple in nature, that are most important to us. Number 10, a growing church is a church that is highly regarded. Now, this might also seem to go counter to all that we think about church. Surely the world doesn't regard the church highly. And the answer would have to be probably not, and certainly not at the moment. But if we read Acts, it's clear that at times the church was well regarded by the wider people. For example, in Acts 5:13, it says the people held them in high esteem. You'll also note, of course, that it doesn't necessarily mean that those people were necessarily willing to become part of the church community. And equally, I'm aware that there are other parts of Scripture, particularly the words of Jesus, for example, where he talked to his followers about how the world hated him and would hate those who followed him. But we have to recognise there's a sense that the people saw something in the early church and regarded it well. They regarded it as making a difference. They saw that it was real. They saw Christians caring for one another. They saw Christians practicing what they preached. They saw Christians making a difference. They saw Christians visibly in their communities. How do people regard us today? What difference are we making during this current crisis? How can the church regain a sense of regard? I want to finish by going back to those questions. What's at the centre? Who is at the centre of your life? And as a church, what's at the centre of our church life? Acts 2 says in the passage we read that the believers were devoted to these things that characterise them as a church community. Some of those things we have to do in a different manner for now and possibly in the future. But nonetheless, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we devoted to doing them? Are we devoted to being a community of faith in a world that needs the good news of Christ as much as it ever has been? May God be with us all during this time. May his Spirit fill us and guide us in the way of the love of Christ. Amen.